The following is a recording for Rafael Laborca from iAdvise on Tuesday, March 8, 2016, at 9 a.m. Central. Mansoor, fourth quarter 2015. Good morning and welcome to Mansoor's fourth quarter 2015 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. Thank you. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Rafael Borja of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, Josh, and good morning, everyone. I'm very pleased to welcome you to Mansoor's fourth quarter 2015 earnings call. We have with us today Mansoor's senior management team, who will discuss the company's fourth quarter 2015 consolidated results as per the press release distributed on March 1st. If you have not yet received a copy, please contact iAdvise in New York at 212-406-3693, and we will immediately send you a copy. Please note that today's call is for investors and analysts only. Therefore, questions from the media will not be taken at this time. If you are a member of the media, please contact the company directly. I will now introduce our speakers. Joining us from Lima, Peru are Mr. Juan Luis Kruger, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Gianflavio Carosi, Chief Financial Officer. Please be advised that forward-looking statements may be made during this conference call, and they did not account for economic circumstances, industry conditions, the company's performance, or financial results. As such, the forward-looking statements are based on several assumptions and factors that could change, causing actual results to materially differ from the current expectations. At this time, Mr. Juan Luis Kruger will initiate his presentation. Mr. Kruger, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone, and thank you again for joining us as we review Mansoor's consolidated results for the fourth quarter and full year 2015. Please be advised that during the conference call, we will be reviewing our consolidated financial statements for the fourth quarter and full year 2015 according to the press release distributed early the past week. I will present a summary of the results and the operating guidance for 2016 before turning the call to Gianflavio, our CFO, for his financial review for the period. After that, we will be happy to take your questions. Let me remind you that 2 weeks ago, we held a special conference call where we reviewed our unconsolidated fourth quarter and full year 2015 results. The purpose of that call was to inform you of a $486 million attributable impairment charge on our investment in Marcobre that we recorded on our non-audited and consolidated financial results and which resulted in a net loss of $536 million. However, and after the conference call, the unconsolidated attributable impairment charge has been revised down to $375 million from the $486 million that were announced a couple weeks ago, while, as a consequence, the net loss was reduced to $422 million on an unconsolidated basis. This adjustment was due to the fact that the impairment of assets associated to the Mina Justa project in Marcobre should also reduce a deferred tax liability associated with the acquisition value of Marcobre at the time that we acquired this asset. This reduction on the deferred tax liability partially compensates and is net off against the impairment charge. Updated financials and management discussion reports with the revised impairment charge have been uploaded to our website as well as on the Superintendencia del Mercado de Valores website, also known as the SMV. Today, we will review our fourth quarter and full year consolidated results, which accounts for 100% of our wholly owned and controlled subsidiaries. The unconsolidated results, just to make sure that we have clarity on the difference, are only related to our Peruvian operations. These results reflect 100% of the impairment charge associated to the Marcobre project, amounting to $481 million net of the deferred tax liability, as a result of which we recorded a net loss of $538 million for the year. Going now to the results of 2015. 2015 was a year of significant operational achievements for Minsur, despite many challenges. We met, and in most cases exceeded, our goals for the period in terms of safety, production, cash cost, and capex. In terms of safety, we managed to close the year with only one lost time injury in all of our Peruvian operations. As I said in our special call a few weeks ago, this is truly remarkable, especially in the case of San Rafael, where we went down from 5 LTIs, which stands for lost time accidents, in 2014, to only one in 2015. At the end of 2015, our gold mine, Pucamarca, recorded its third year without having any LTIs, which positions our Peruvian operations as one of the safest both in Peru and in the world. However, at Taboca, our operations in Brazil, we recorded 3 LTIs during 2015, similar to the previous year. We are focusing very hard on replicating our strong safety practices and performance in Peru at our operations in Brazil. In terms of production, in 2015, we met or exceeded all production targets in spite of unexpected events during the year. The San Rafael and Pisco complex in Peru closed the year with 20,224 tons of refined tin produced, in line with our guidance of 20,000 to 22,000 tons of tin for the year. Pucamarca reached a record production of 120,924 gold ounces in 2015, which is a 14% increase compared to 2014, and above the initial guidance, I would say significantly above the initial guidance of 95,000 to 105,000 gold ounces for the year. This was primarily as a result of an increase in our plant capacity and in recovery, allowing us to offset the lower head grade. Notably, Taboca reached a record production of 5,525 tons of refined tin in 2015, 10% above 2014, and within the guidance of 5,000 to 6,000 tons of tin, in spite of the energy constraints at Pitinga derived from the event at the hydropower plant last August. Due to this event, we had to cut back production at the mine by 33% during the second half of 2015, and as a result, the production of ferroniobium and tantalum alloys reached 2,170 tons, which is 20% lower than in 2014. In terms of cost, we managed as well to meet or exceed our cost targets at all operating units. San Rafael concluded the year with a cash cost per ton treated of $127 compared to $143 in 2014, representing a decrease of 11% and below our yearly guidance of $130 to $140 per ton treated. It is important to note that in the fourth quarter of 2015, our cash cost per ton treated closed at $119, equivalent to a 23% reduction compared to 2014. This resulted in a cash cost per ton of refined tin of $8,461 for calendar year 2015, similar to that reported in 2014, despite the lower head grade of the mine. It is important as well to highlight that in the fourth quarter, San Rafael reached a cost per refined ton of tin of $7,720, just reflecting a significant downward trend. As we look into 2016, the commissioning of the ore sorting project and continued improvements in productivity and cost will consolidate San Rafael's position as one of the lowest cost producing tin mines in the world. Pucamarca achieved in 2015 a cash cost per ton treated of $4.2, within the lower end of our initial guidance range of $4 to $4.5 per ton treated. This, combined with record production, resulted in a cash cost per ounce of gold produced of $280, representing a 21% decrease compared to 2014 and consolidating Pucamarca as one of the most profitable gold mines in the world, if not the most profitable. Pitinga. Pitinga reached a cash cost per ton treated of $18.1 per ton compared to $22.4 in 2014. That represents a decrease of 20% and is within the lower end of the guidance range of $18 to $20 given for the year. This cost result was despite the unanticipated additional costs associated with the event at the hydroelectric plant. It is important to highlight that cash cost per ton treated at Pitinga closed at $16.9 in the fourth quarter of the year. In terms of CapEx, we closed 2015 below our capital expenditure estimates for the year. At San Rafael and Pisco, we invested $22 million in 2015, including $8 million in the ore sorting project, compared to an initial guidance of $15 to $20 million, but not including the ore sorting project. Therefore, if we compare apples to apples, we will be showing a total capex of $14 million compared to $15 to $20 million that was in the initial guidance. At Pucamarca, we invested $7 million compared to the initial guidance of $8 to $10 million. And at Taboca, we invested $21.5 million in sustaining capex and $8.5 million in expansion capex and repairs of the hydroelectric dam versus an initial guidance of $30 to $35 million in sustaining capex. You can see significant efforts were placed during the year to rationalize and optimize capital amongst all of our operating mines. In terms of our discretionary exploration and growth projects expenses included in our EBITDA figures for the year, in 2015 we continued executing our most relevant projects, which we strongly believe will help to maximize the value of our portfolio. In this sense, we spent $25 million in pre-feasibility studies for the Mina Justa project in Marcobre, close to $6 million in the pre-feasibility study and pilot plant tests at B2, and $5 million more in Barbastro and Sigustani, adding up to a total of $56 million for the year of discretionary growth and exploration expenditures. As a result, in 2015, we recorded a strong operational performance at all our operating units as we focused on improving productivity and reducing costs in order to preserve our operating margins and also our strong cash position. Nevertheless, 2015 was marked by a material adverse price scenario which eroded our revenues. This, in combination with the recently announced impairment charge related to Marcobre, significantly impacted our financial results, recording a consolidated net loss of $538 million for the year. Analyzing these financial results, I would like to highlight a couple of things. The first one is that the loss recorded includes certain non-cash impacts, such as a $481 million impairment charge net of the impact of the deferred tax liability, and a $35 million accounting exchange difference mainly driven by the impact of the depreciation of the Brazilian real in our balance sheet at Taboca. The second one is that we have recorded an EBITDA, a consolidated EBITDA of $149 million for the year, which includes $56 million in investments in our growth projects and $20 million in one-time accounting adjustments. Excluding growth investments, EBITDA for the year would have reached $200 million, which would be a 33% EBITDA margin for the year. In terms of our projects, it is important to mention that despite recording the impairment charge at Marcobre, the Mina Justa project is still progressing according to our plan and is on track to finalize the pre-feasibility study in May 2016. We will provide more details once the study is complete. Coincidentally, our B2 project at San Rafael is also on track to complete the pre-feasibility study in May this year. Having reported the main highlights of our 2015 results, I would like now to focus on our outlook for 2016, which will be an important year for Minsur, as some very important milestones will be completed this year, both at the project and operational level. First, and as mentioned before, at the project level, Minajusta and B2 will be completing the pre-feasibility stage with the expectation to move on to the next gate, which is the feasibility stage in the second quarter of this year. Second, at the operations level, we will deliver on some key operational enhancements initiatives at San Rafael by implementing the ore sorting project, at Pitinga as we complete the plant debottlenecking project, the Niobium flotation plant expansion, and the repairs at the hydroelectric dam, and at Pirapora by expanding the capacity to process the slag. These projects will start to bear results late in 2016, and therefore their impact will be tangible in 2017. Notwithstanding, these projects are really critical to keep growing and expanding and diversifying our portfolio into the future. Although our efforts to reduce costs are permanent key areas, we expect to incur in certain incremental costs this year at Taboca, mainly due to the diesel power generation, and at Pucamarca, as we have to overhaul part of the mining fleet, and as we start opening up the pit in order to deepen our extraction activities, increasing our stripping costs. Notwithstanding, we're focused on generating additional efficiencies to overcome these incremental costs and continue reducing our costs per ton treated at all of our units. As a result of our plan for the year, our guidance for 2016 is as follows. In terms of production, we expect the San Rafael Pisco complex to produce between 20,000 to 21,000 tons of refined tin. Taboca to produce between 6,000 to 7,000 tons of refined tin and between 2,000 to 2,200 tons of ferroniobium and tantalum alloy. And Pucamarca between 95 to 105,000 ounces of gold. In terms of cash cost per ton treated, we expect San Rafael to close between $115 to $125 per ton, Pitinga between $17 to $19 per ton, and Pucamarca between $4.5 to $5 per ton treated. In terms of CapEx, we expect to invest during 2016 approximately between $80 to $100 million, mainly allocated as follows. In San Rafael and Pisco, we will invest between $15 to $20 million in sustaining capex, including between $6 to $8 million in backfilling of stopes that were mined out in the past. This will allow us to access and mine higher-grade ore areas in the future. We will also spend between $15 to $18 million in expansion projects, mainly related to the implementation and completion of the ore sorting project, which should be finished by the second quarter of this year. In Taboca, we will invest between $20 to $25 million in sustaining capex, of which between $12 to $14 million correspond to the Niobium flotation plant expansion, and between $13 to $15 million that are required to complete the repair of the hydroelectric dam. In Pucamarca, we will spend between $8 to $10 million in sustaining capex, mainly related to the overhaul of the mining fleet. In summary, we achieved very strong operational results in 2015, outperforming our initial guidance for the year at all our operations. The company timely undertook several actions throughout the year to mitigate the significant commodity price decline and effectively faced very challenging market conditions. These actions allowed us to reduce costs, increase productivity, and rationalize and optimize capital investments at every one of our mines, generating the cash flows required to keep investing in our long-term exploration and growth projects. As a result of the effective strategic response of the company to the industry context, in 2015 we were able to preserve our planned EBITDA margins and to maintain a very solid financial position, closing the year with around $590 million in cash. 2016 will not be an easier year for the industry, and we have set very challenging objectives for the company. However, we are convinced that we have the right strategy and focus, and that with the hard work and very strong commitment of our people, we will be able to once again deliver on our goals. Strong operating margins in our mines and smelters, together with our sound financial management, will allow us to continue creating both short and long-term value and to deliver our future growth and diversification projects. With that, let me now turn the call over to Gianfabio Carosi, our CFO, who will review the financial performance for the period.
Thank you, Juan Luis, and good morning to everyone. As Juan Luis just mentioned, despite a strong operating performance, our 2015 financial results were affected by a decline in commodity prices, an impairment charge related to Marcobre, and the devaluation of local currency in Brazil. Also, as he mentioned, a couple of weeks ago, we held a special call to review the impact of an impairment charge being recorded in our unconsolidated and unaudited Minsur S.A. financial statement. During the call, we explained the decision to reduce our book value of the Marcobre project from $840 million down to $200 million, primarily as a result of reduced commodity prices. That is a $641 million impairment charge on a 100% value basis of the project. The impairment has been revised down to $481 million, as Juan Luis explained, as tax deferred liabilities originated during the acquisition of the project have been adjusted as well in accordance with IFRS accounting standards. As a result, Minsur reflects a net loss of $538 million on a consolidated basis. Taking at face value, it is a very large loss. However, there are a few things that I would like to highlight from our results. First, in 2015, our revenues declined by almost $296 million versus 2014, $179 million of which was due to reduced commodity prices and $117 million due to reduced volume. So as a consequence of lower production at San Rafael in 2015 and to significant reductions in inventory at Pisco and San Rafael performed in 2014. Of the almost $300 million revenue loss, approximately $150 million were recovered through reductions in production costs, administrative expenses, and exploration and project expenses. These cost reductions results were mainly due to the renegotiation of tariffs and rates, disposal of non-critical cost items, lower employee profit-sharing expenses, and devaluation of local currencies. These efforts were undertaken in Q2 of 2015, and implemented during the second half of 2015. Therefore, we expect to see the full annual impact of these benefits starting in 2016. It is also important to note that we have recorded an asset impairment charge of $641 million and a reduction in deferred tax liabilities for $159 million related to the Marcobre project. The net effect of both is the $481 million that we referred to earlier. A reduction in deferred tax liabilities of $159 million is shown as a positive charge in the income tax expense line in the P&L that we have issued a week or so ago. Also, other operating expenses reflect a reclassification from exploration and project expenses of about $12 million related to assets in Marcobre that under the new configuration will not have value, as well as an update on mine closure and remediation provisions at CU standing for $14 million. In all, we recorded a $149 million EBITDA in 2015, which includes investments in growth and one-time adjustments. Just excluding growth investments of $56 million, which are discretionary in nature, and without accounting for the $12 million reclassification of exploration and project expenses, EBITDA would have reached $200 million. That is a 33% EBITDA margin. This is a reflection of our strategy to maximize value from our ongoing operations while protecting our EBITDA margins and maintaining our investment in growth. We also recorded a $35 million accounting loss on exchange difference from the impact of local currency devaluation versus the dollar on our local balance sheet in 2015. $30 million out of which is from our Brazilian operations. As a result, MINSUR reported a net loss of $538 million in 2015. Excluding the impairment charge, the foreign exchange difference, and the discretionary exploration and growth projects expenses, adjusted net income would have been $33 million in 2015. Also, safekeeping our cash and maximizing our liquidity has been another very important pillar of our strategy. As such, we concluded the year with $590 million in cash and $557 million in debt, resulting in a negative 0.2 net debt to EBITDA ratio. In summary, the strength and potential of our portfolio of operations and our focus on maximizing value and liquidity is reflected in positive results measured on an adjusted EBITDA and adjusted net income basis, despite negative external factors and slowdown in the global economy. We continue to take the appropriate actions to enhance our operational and financial performance in the short and medium term. As such, 2016 will be a key year for MINSUR, as we continue implementing operating initiatives at Taboca and San Rafael in order to increase production and to continue maximizing cost efficiencies and productivity. I want to finalize by emphasizing our commitment towards cost control, operational efficiency, and strong and prudent financial structuring. With that, I conclude my presentation. Thank you for your attention. Operator, please proceed to the Q&A session.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for your questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touchtone phones now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, just press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 now. And we will pause momentarily to compile a list of questioners. We now have our first question coming from Ailis Danielson from Pro Futuro.
Hi, thank you for the call. My question was regarding the Brazilian operations and if you could provide a timeline or a CapEx estimate for the complete reparations to take place and when can full production be expected again.
Okay, thank you for the question. We are going to be spending in total. Hello? Hello? Okay, so there's a lot of bad noise here. We will be basically spending in 2016 between $13 to $15 million to complete the reparation of the hydroelectric plant. That takes us to a total of around $17.5 million for that repair, taking into account that part of that has been already spent in 2015. We expect to be back at full production in late August, most likely, although we're doing all the efforts that we can to try to ramp up that earlier, but it's depending basically on the completion of the hydroelectric dam and also depending on the rainfall. Due to the El Nino phenomenon, we've been in a very, very strong drought in Brazil, in the northeast of Brazil, and that has also resulted in very, very low rainfall in the first 2 months of this year.
Okay.
I don't know if that answers the question.
Just a follow-up question. Regarding the exchange losses for the Brazilian units, could you elaborate a little bit on that? Is there any hedging policy the company will adopt?
This is Jean Flavio. Let me elaborate on that. In Brazil, we report from an accounting perspective based on national currency, the Brazilian real. Now, we generate basically revenues in U.S. dollars, as almost all of our sales are export-led or based in U.S. dollar terms. However, as a result of that, we hold U.S. dollar-based debt to finance the ongoing operations. Now, because of our balance sheet position being reported in Brazilian real, With that devaluation of the Brazilian real, that U.S. dollar-based debt or liability position increases, and as a result of that, generates losses within our P&L. Now, this is purely an accounting impact. It has no financial or cash flow impact on the company, and as a result of that, we are not using derivatives or any hedges to overcome that impact.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Again, if anyone would like to ask a question, please press star 1 now. Our next question comes from Boar Amar from Andino Asset Management.
Hi, Juan Luis. This is Carlos Rojas. How are you? Congratulations on your cost reduction program. I think it was remarkable. I have three questions. The first one is just an accounting one about the impairment of that you already talked. My question goes, if copper prices rebound sharply in 2016, do you have to make also a positive adjustment if that happens, and do you have to show a profit? And if you have any sensibility on that, could be great. The second one goes about Pitinga. My question goes, if you have to make any impairment there as well, according to Brazilian law. And the last one is, in 2016, shall we expect an update of reserves on San Rafael or not? Thanks.
Thank you, Carlos, for your comments and your questions. With respect to the copper price and the potential impact of a rebound of prices in 2016 or eventually in the future, it is important to understand that the way we analyze the impairment charges in all of our assets are not based necessarily on the current spot prices. Okay. We use a longer-term view on prices, which obviously is much lower than what the price was at the moment of the acquisition, and that is part of the reason why we have been required to do this significant impairment. So if the price rebounds above the long-term price that we have used for the impairment test, we will have to make a positive adjustment eventually. However, we also have to bear in mind that the value of the project is not only dependent exclusively on prices. Prices are a significant value driver, of course, but as the project evolves into the feasibility stage late this year and early next year, we will also have a lot more precision on the capital expenditures, the operating costs, and all of the other value drivers of the project that could also have an implication and will have an implication on the value of the project. So in other words, the value of the project will be analyzed every year as we move forward through the development stages that we have set for the project. In terms of the second question, which is related to the requirement of making an impairment at Pitinga, yes, we have evaluated not only Taboca, but also all of our other operating units as part of the regular impairment tests that we make every year. And there is no need at this point in time to make an impairment at Pitinga. Bear in mind that all of the operating losses that we've recorded at Pitinga since the time of the acquisition have already been net off against the acquisition value in our books. Therefore, the value that we are showing right now in our books for this asset, we believe represents a fair value for the asset on a going forward basis. In other words, as well, that means that with the current business plan that we have in place, with the projections of increased production of ferroniobium and tantalum alloys, as of next year, once we conclude the expansion of the niobium and tantalum processing facility, and going back to full production, we believe that we will be in a position to generate positive financial results and EBITDA and cash flow in the near future. So the future is looking really interesting for this asset, and there's no need to make an impairment at this point in time. And going to the third question, which is reserves and resources declaration, every year we file, together with our annual report, our updated resources and reserves declaration. So in late March, you should be expecting that information to be announced to the market. The only thing I can say at this point in time is that the investment that we've done in exploration in the last 3 years has definitely allowed us to extend and keep not only replenishing the resources and reserves that we have been mining out of the mines, but also extending the life of the mine. So you should be expecting to get that information as part of our annual report.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Sebastian Cruz from Capo Securities.
Good morning to all. Thank you for the call. My question is only about Pucamarca guidance. If you can repeat that, we have a little interference here.
Okay, I understand you're asking for the Pucamarca or the guidance for Pucamarca, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, in terms of production in Pucamarca, we should be within the 95,000 to 105,000 ounces for the year. That's the range for the year. Remember that the pit grades come down as we go deeper into the pit in Pucamarca. In terms of cost, we should be within the $4.5 to $5 per ton treated range, and that's also including already some increased expenditures due to a higher strip ratio as we start deepening and opening up the pit. And in terms of CapEx, we should be spending around $8 to $10 million in the year in sustaining CapEx, and that's mainly related to the overhaul of the mining fleet.
Okay, so the less production is related to lower head grade?
Yes, we were having a lower head grade, and this is part of the mine plan that we have, the life of mine plan.
And we expect an increase in capacity of the plant?
We are right now working in two fronts to further increase capacity. One is water. We need to secure additional sources of water to expand the plant capacity further beyond the 21,000 tons per year that where we are running at right now. Remember that the original project had 14,000 tons per year of capacity, so we have increased 50% the capacity without any material or significant capital investment. And the second one is the permits. We need to get approval of a new modification of our EIA to be able to expand capacity beyond the 21,000 tons that we have right now. If we're able to achieve the permit, and provided that we get some more sources of water, we reckon that we could take capacity all the way up to 24 to 25,000 tons per day at the mine without any real significant capital investment.
Okay, thank you.
And at this time, I'm showing no further questions. I'd like to turn the call back over to Mr. Kruger for closing remarks.
Yes, I want to thank you all for your continued interest and trust in our company and for your participation in today's conference call. As always, please don't hesitate to contact me, Gianflavio Carosi, or Vladimiro Berrocal if you have any additional questions. We look forward to speaking with you again soon. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.